The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
You're welcome back. It is 5 minutes past nine on this Wednesday morning. We are going to be going through our Ireland team in just a moment. We are going to have Phil Egan with us. We're going to have Stephen Doyle with us. Nathan, you're also picking your team. By the way, this is our starting 11 for the Republic of Ireland against Serbia. It is a month out. It is exactly a month out today. So that's why we're doing it today. We've had polls up all morning helping you decide who the big winners are in some of the very tight decisions. But for you, Nathan, who were the tight decisions in your starting 11?
I think goalkeeper, centre-back and the attack are the most difficult in terms of maybe not tight because there's so many players vying for the positions because there's such a lack of options in many ways of players who are playing first-team football. And the conversation we're having now is so different to if we had this a month out from Stephen Kenny's first game in charge, where I think we were approaching it with a huge amount of excitement and young players emerging, a lot of the older players still playing first team football and how you get that mix. Whereas now Stephen Kenny's coming into this with a huge shadow hanging over 5-6 players who he would like to have been key players in his team, and also coming into it on such a horrendous run of form with no win so far, just the one goal so far, and no great expectation ahead of a really tough opening game. I know that the people who are maybe having questions about Stephen Kenny seem to think that this is a somewhat straightforward group, or one of the more straightforward groups, because we didn't get two of the giants, but Portugal are now one of the giants of world football. It is quite frightening when you look at what Portugal have. And Serbia have been the great underachievers of European football over the last 5-6 years, considering what they've done at underage level and the amount of quality players they have playing across Europe. So Serbia are going to decide this group. If Serbia can get it together, we're in big trouble. Because remember, you have to finish in the top two to have any chance of qualifying. If Serbia have been where they've been when we were in Belgrade 2-3 years ago and they didn't deliver, I think Ireland have an opportunity. But yeah, from all the early optimism, I think, that was there when Stephen Kenny came in, there's not a huge amount of it now when you look at the players that he's choosing from.
Phil Egan, good morning. You're back with us. You've been mulling over your decisions over the last couple of days. What is the position for you that caused you the most consternation?
Probably striker, because obviously we're not scoring goals and you have to decide who's going to get you the goals, or do you look at it and think, maybe I need somebody up there that can play the role best, that can bring other players into it, that can score the goals? Because it's not a case of you can't write off an Irish player playing up front because they don't score goals. Nobody's done it since Robbie Keane left. Martin O'Neill talked about it when Robbie Keane was on his way out, that they were always going to struggle without Robbie Keane, and that has proven to be the case. So there is no out-and-out nailed-on selection for starting in that role. Obviously, David McGoldrick, even when he played in that role, he likes to drift out and play in a more withdrawn role as well. So that was the toughest one for me.
Where did this season go wrong from an Irish perspective? Like, it seemed at the start of the season there was a lot of positivity around Irish players going well in the Premier League. It was almost going to be 10 Premier League players plus Shane Duffy almost for that first Stephen Kenny game. A few of them getting goals in the opening weekends. That was just a flash in the pan, really, more than a dwindling of fortunes throughout the season.
Yeah, well, obviously you want players that are playing regularly for their clubs, and you say you look at somebody like Conor Hourihan, who started the season with Villa, and when Ross Barkley was signed, you thought, this is probably not good news for Conor Hourihan, and that's the way it turned out. But he has since gone to Swansea, and he's scoring goals for Swansea. And that is what you want. You would rather a player be playing in the Championship week in, week out than sitting on the bench in the Premier League. We have, I think some Irish fans have a bit of fixation with a player because they play in the Premier League, they have to play. Not necessarily. You got to look at the system they play in. You got to look at their form. I don't think that you pick players just because they play in the Premier League, even though we know the Premier League is a higher standard than Championship is. But do you look at the form of a player and what kind of team they're playing in, and does it suit the way Stephen Kenny wants to see things? In terms of Stephen Kenny and the way things started, I think the night of the playoff against Slovakia, what happened just before the game, the COVID cases, it pretty much, nothing has gone right since then. You throw in the fact that obviously there's a pandemic and there's no crowds at games. It's very hard to judge Stephen Kenny in the same way that you would judge him if we had had a full squad or, look, injuries happen, but also if you had crowds at games. I just think that when you judge players and managers at the moment, there has to be a little bit of leeway in terms of what we're expecting from them.
Stephen Doyle, you're with us now as well. Good morning to you.
Morning, lads.
Let's actually kick things off with your team. So you've picked an 11, Phil's picked an 11, and Nathan's picked an 11. You give us your starting 11 first.
Okay. Well, I'll start off with Caoimhín Kelleher in goal. Then my right and left backs are Seamus Coleman and Enda Stevens. And in centre half, I'm going for Darragh O'Shea and Kieran Clark. And I'm going for a 4-2-3-1 formation. So the double pivot, as they call it on the continent, is Josh Cullen and Jason Knight. And then we're going for the attacking trio is going to be Matt Doherty on the right, Conor Harahan in the hole, and Aaron Connolly on the left. And I'm actually going to go with Adam Ida up front.
Right. So there is plenty of agreement with the first five names you read out there. In fact, all three of you have gone for the same goalkeeper and the exact same back four. Our poll as well agrees with the decision that you've made here. 56% of our viewers this morning want Caoimhín Kelleher to start against Serbia next month, while a massive 88% will be going for Seamus Coleman over Matt Doherty. Of course, you've gone for both in your team, Stephen Doyle. But just continue there on Caoimhín Kelleher. Why is he getting the nod over Darren Randolph at this point?
Yeah, well, look, you know, both of them, they've kind of played a similar amount of games this season. And, you know, it's a little bit unfair, perhaps, on Darren Randolph because he's never really let Ireland down. And even from his first appearance that he came on that time for Shea Given, it's such a big game when Given went off injured. And since then, he's been really Mr. Cool, Calm and Collected in the Irish goal. But I just feel that Caoimhín Kelleher has come on for Liverpool in some really big games this season. He's played for them, I should say. Two Premier League appearances and two matches in the Champions League. Well, I know they weren't necessarily against, you know, the toughest team in their Champions League group. One of the teams was Ajax. So I just feel if Jurgen Klopp trusts Caoimhín Kelleher, although he is 22 years of age, he has zero caps, and he trusts him in big Champions League games like that ahead of Adrian, I think that Stephen Kenny should definitely trust him as well. I think Stephen Kenny is going to go for him when it comes to these games, these World Cup qualifying matches. I know there is an element of risk playing him because he hasn't really got the experience. And as well, you'd have to say in the four matches he did play, those matches I mentioned, he didn't have a huge amount of saves to make, but he did pull off several good saves in those games. And he was quite, I suppose, maybe well protected at that time by the Liverpool defence, which he definitely wouldn't be now. So perhaps if he does get a chance, he might be tested a bit more in that Liverpool number one shirt. But the other thing as well, about Caoimhín Kelleher is he's working with, you know, the number one goalkeeper in the Premier League. And I know Alisson's had his problems over the last couple of weeks, but he's working with Alisson day in, day out. And you get that feeling from what both of them have said in interviews that he is, you know, Alisson isn't that type of player to kind of not want to help a young keeper trying to come up and take his shirt, that he genuinely is trying to help Caoimhín Kelleher become a better goalkeeper. So I think that's another factor that I would be thinking about when I'm selecting Caoimhín Kelleher.
Nathan, you're all in on Kelleher.
Yeah, I'd echo a lot of what Stephen said. It's a disastrous situation for Stephen Kenny to find himself in, that he's having to choose between goalkeepers who aren't playing any first-team football. But the future is now, and if Stephen Kenny is planning on making radical changes to the way Ireland play, Caoimhín Kelleher is the perfect goalkeeper for that, because that is the way that all modern goalkeepers have to play. The other thing that has changed is that Darren Randolph has now made a mistake. It's only one mistake, but we did have a 4 or 5 year spell after he came on in that game against Germany where he was just rock solid. He was probably the first name of the team sheet for a good spell. But that mistake over in Finland cost Ireland badly. It was exactly the type of mistake that Stephen Kenny is going to remember, because that back pass, that ball that he tried to play is one he's going to have to play 50 times when he's playing for Ireland. So it's a big decision he's going to have to make, because Randolph is one of the most experienced members in the squad. He's one of the more influential members in the squad. There was speculation about his future at the end of the last campaign as to whether he would come back, whether he was considering international retirement. So what happened in those conversations? I'm not quite sure whether Randolph is coming back in. Either way, it's not an ideal scenario for Stephen Kenny to be going into this game with a keeper who hasn't played in many months. And the other issue is he can't really plan long term, because there's every possibility that by the time we get to September for the next set of qualifiers, neither of these keepers have played again. So there's no quick fix here. But I think Kelleher, now is the time.
Phil, you've been beating the Caoimhín Kelleher drum for quite some time. You're also on board here. So we've got consensus. I want to move on, because there's going to be disagreement when we get into the attack. But I just want to move on to this central defensive areas, first of all. Phil, you might take us through this, because, again, we've got consensus here at this one. Everybody here going for O'Shea and Clark. When it comes to Kevin Long, when it comes to Shane Duffy, where do they rank on your rankings of central defenders here, Phil?
Yeah, I think obviously it's something that Stephen Kenny is going to have to decide on with Shane Duffy. And I feel like it's one of those decisions, if he plays Shane Duffy, it could go really well or it could go spectacularly wrong. And unfortunately, Shane Duffy's form is just not good at the moment. Obviously, I don't know how the news that Neil Lennon has resigned today will impact Shane Duffy. Maybe he sees it as a clean slate and tries to get his form back together. But right now, Kieran Clark is playing for Newcastle. He's also a left-sided player, which complements a right-sided centre-half in Dar O'Shea. Dar O'Shea is a future star of this Ireland team. I think it's important when you look at the 11s that we've picked that there is a blend of youth and experience there, because you can't just throw in all young lads. That's just not possible. You can't do that. So if you're playing Dar O'Shea, you have the experience of Kieran Clark beside him. Kevin Long does get the odd game for Burnley. It really depends on, you're looking at, basically he gets his game time if Ben Mee or James Tarkowski are injured. And with Dar O'Shea, you know, he's got plenty of game time. He's played across the back four for West Brom this season. He's played in a back three, he's played in a back four, and he's just been so impressive. Even if you think the night of the England game, I know it was a really tough game for Ireland that night, but John Egan went off injured and Dar O'Shea came on and just took it in his stride, got the ball. One of the first things he does is just plays a pass with purpose. You know, he won't just take the easy option and play the ball back to the keeper. He'll look to bring a midfielder into play, and that's what you want to see. You want to see a young lad that isn't afraid to express himself. But also, look, you know, he's only 21. He's going to make the odd mistake, but that's why you need experience in there. That's why I went for them. And I think it is very important that you have a left-sided player playing in the two, because even I think back to, say, the Merseyside derby the other day, Ozan Kabak found himself playing on the left side of a two. He found himself in that position actually for the Richarlison goal. Ball played down his left-hand side, not as comfortable because that's not his stronger side. Whereas if you're left-footed, it's easier to defend on that side. So that's why I went for those two.
The other thing as well, Phil, I think Dar O'Shea has actually been quite unlucky with West Brom. I know he's been, Sam Allardyce seems to have favoured Ajayi and Barkley at West Brom at the moment. I think Dar O'Shea is a better player than Barkley. And I think it's just maybe because, you know, Allardyce seems to have this thing in his head that because he's too young, or so young, that he can't maybe, you know, depend on him in such an important relegation battle that West Brom are in. But if you cast your mind back to December when Dar O'Shea was in the West Brom team against Liverpool and Manchester City, two away games when they were really under pressure, and he was up against, I was looking at the Liverpool team, and like it was Salah, Firmino and Mane. They played against Man City, it was Gabriel Jesus playing up front, De Bruyne, Foden and Sterling. Like, he was so calm and assured in those two games, and I thought he was their best defender on those nights when they got those 1-1 draws. So like, if Dar O'Shea can perform like that in a rickety West Brom team against two of the best attacks in world football, surely he's good enough to play in the Ireland team against Serbia in a World Cup qualifier.
A rickety Ireland team. It is incredible, again, how everything has changed so much in the last year. This time 12 months ago, we thought we were on the verge of a playoff against Slovakia, and for Mick McCarthy, Duffy and Randolph were the two automatic selections. And it's such a shame for Shane Duffy how it has gone over the last year at Celtic that he's in this position. And it's another big decision for Stephen Kenny, because again, you're talking about another influential member of the squad, but Coleman returning is nailed on. Coleman simply has to start at right back. I think both of them will play, Coleman and Doherty. It won't be an either or. But Dar O'Shea was one of the best performers of the Stephen Kenny era so far across a range of positions, has been rock solid. So I think he will find a place. And having Kieran Clarke back, if he gets there, because the unfortunate issue for Kieran Clarke is there's always been something, there's these constant niggly injuries that mean that it's nearly a decade since his first cap, he's 34 of them. He could easily have doubled that. He could easily have been first choice centre half for the last 6-7 years, because every time I watch him in a rickety Newcastle defence, he impresses, because he's a modern centre half. He's more than happy to stride out of defence with the ball. He plays with the head up. So that is a really good, promising centre half partnership there, in the mould of what we thought Stephen Kenny would want. But again, it's a big old decision when it comes down to it to drop both Randolph and Duffy from that starting 11.
Yeah. Well, just very quickly, Nathan, where would you have Duffy? Is he first up off the bench? If there's another injury, does he start? Is he close?
Yeah, I think if there's another injury, if Kieran Clarke was to unfortunately pick up an injury, or Darragh O'Shea, I think Duffy then starts. I think he probably is still ahead of Kevin Long, because Kevin Long's not playing any first team football, as Stephen touched on. He gets a few minutes here and there if one of the centre halves is out injured. So I think Duffy is still your first man off the bench. And I think there's an opportunity as well for Duffy to find his way back into form in the next couple of years. I know there's a feeling he's just not suited to Stephen Kenny's style of play and hasn't looked that comfortable, but Stephen Kenny hasn't had the Shane Duffy of the last 2 or 3 years ago. Stephen Kenny's had the Shane Duffy who's been the shadow of what we saw at Brighton, even when he was in and out of the team. So yeah, Duffy will be in the squad. Duffy will be on the bench. And here, as much as it may be a newish era and a new style, if we're 1-0 down in Belgrade with 5 minutes to go and there's a substitute remaining, you're sticking Shane Duffy on.
Funny, I think the other thing as well is it's unfortunate for Nathan Collins to have had that injury for Stoke City, because I think he'd be in the mix as well. And perhaps if he was fully fit, I think the way Shane Duffy's playing at the moment, Nathan Collins might even have a chance of sneaking ahead of him there. But anyway, he's injured, so he doesn't really come into the conversation. It's definitely one to watch for the future.
Stephen, let's get into your attack then. Everybody here, by the way, has got Conor Hourihan and Jason Malumbi in the team, as far as I'm aware.
No, you don't.
Sorry, my bad. But Stephen, one of the players that you have that nobody else has in your starting 11 is Josh Cullen. Talk us through this. Why are you starting Cullen?
Yeah, well, I was kind of, when I was picking these two deep midfielders, I was kind of toying between either Cullen and Jason Knight, or Cullen and Jason Malumbi. And I left Malumbi out because I just think he's maybe, when you're looking through that team, you're trying to get a bit more experience into the team, because there are one or two younger players. And I think when you look at Josh Cullen, his career so far, like, he's 24 years of age. Now, I know he's only got 4 caps. He's over 150 senior appearances playing for the likes of Charlton, Bradford, Bolton. And now he's with Anderlecht. He's played 16 games for them so far this season in the Belgian top flight. They're not doing too badly. Like, Club Brugge are running away with the league there this season, as they have so often. But they're just 4 points off second place. He's playing under Vincent Kompany, the former Manchester City captain. So he's getting good coaching there at Anderlecht. And I've just always liked him. I remember the first cap he got against Bulgaria, and, you know, his work rate, even though it was just a friendly match, his work rate was absolutely impeccable. He got back a couple of times into the box when there was attacks and the defender maybe caught a bit short. He made some really important tackles and interceptions. And I just he's one of those players where you really admire his grit, his determination, his work rate. And he's also got, you know, he's the kind of player I think he complements Jason Knight, because Jason Knight is the kind of midfielder who likes to get forward a bit. He's also, I think with the two of them together, what you want from your two midfielders in front of the back four are players that can break down the opposition attack and then distribute the ball really well, or take the ball forward themselves. And I think in Josh Cullen, you've got a player there who can break up the play and then get his midfielder beside him going, like Jason Knight, he can take the ball forward. But again, in Knight, you've got somebody who's a brilliant tackler. He can win the ball back really well. And I think they complement each other very well. I think Malumbi, I love Jason Malumbi. I love the way he plays. I think, he's kind of getting as close to that mould of Roy Keane as we've probably seen in the midfielder in a long time. But I just think he's maybe lacking that little bit of experience. And we've got in, you know, even the fact that Josh Cullen went to Belgium, how many Irish players are going abroad to get experience? Not that many. There's a few more now over the last couple of years. But I just admired that kind of his personality and his character to go and do that. So I think having him alongside Knight would be a really, really good partnership.
He does have a lot of options in midfield, that's sort of the point I'm going to make, is around Jason Malumbi. He does have a lot of options in midfield if everybody is fit. but it's how you get that right mix. So I have James McCarthy in the team who was back on the bench for Crystal Palace. I still think if McCarthy is fully fit, and it's a massive if, that he is the perfect player for what Kenny will try and do and that he should start. But Knight and Malumbi, you'd love to see the two of them together. I think at the moment they're probably still both a little bit too raw to start in the team together. And also Conor Harran has to play. He is the in-form Irish player right now. Since he went on loan to Swansea, he's scoring goals. He's been released a little bit from the shackles of the double pivot, as Stephen is going with, that he's now playing. They're going with a single pivot at Swansea. So he's playing as a number eight. So, you know, he has a bit more freedom and is absolutely flourishing in that. So I think Harran will definitely start. The one who I don't think has got into any of our teams is Jeff Hendrick, who I had a big debate over in my head, because Hendrick, for me, has been the best player of the Kenny era so far. I think he's got absolutely hammered after every game. But I just think he has shown a good energy. He has been key in the best moments Ireland have had in almost every match. He's been involved in them. Yes, he's not as consistent as we would like. And it's very hard to select him when he's not playing for Newcastle at the moment. And he, again, is not in any sort of form at club level. He may miss out, but I wonder when Kenny is picking his team, will he look back on the games that Hendrick has played and still feel it's very difficult to drop him?
Nathan, we'll come back to your front six in just a moment. Phil, just take us through why you've picked Jason Malumbi, because you disagree with the point here that Malumbi and Knight aren't ready to play together right now.
Yeah, I've obviously included both in the team, but what I've done is I've actually dropped Harran into the two in midfield, because I would agree in terms of Malumbi and Knight together, maybe a bit raw, but having Harran there beside Malumbi will give him a bit of experience. Hendrick did come into the reckoning a bit, but I think at the moment, I think one thing Jeff Hendrick has suffered from a lot is he's been played in so many different positions for Ireland and for club that we don't really know what is his best position. Stephen Kenny has played him in a more advanced role at times and kind of makes things happen a little bit more. But yeah, he seems to be the one that whenever Ireland are not playing well, that fans will always go after him. But at the moment, it looks like he's not getting any game time at Newcastle. I know he got that silly red card against Southampton, and maybe Steve Bruce has just thought like that game meant so much to them. And obviously they got the win, but he just probably thought that was pretty irresponsible to get sent off in that game. With Harran, I want him in the team as well. I want, finally, some set piece comes up and he takes ownership, because he scored one goal for Ireland and it was a free kick against Georgia, the one where the tennis balls were thrown onto the pitch. And there's times we've got free kicks and you're thinking, this is just tailor-made for Conor Harran, and Robbie Brady takes the ball off him. And you just think, this has been a bit of an issue with Conor Harran, is you just want to see him have a bit more authority, both on the ball and when it comes to things like set-piece decisions, where he just takes the ball and says to Robbie Brady, do you know what, Robbie? I'm taking this one. I'm a better free kick taker than you, and I'm going to put this one in the top corner. In terms of Malumbi, he was one of the standout performers for Kenny in the 21s. He was the natural progression was going to be to get into the senior team. I know, Nathan, you spoke to Graham Potter before the Premier League season started, and at the time he was still undecided on what to do with Malumbi. Would they send him out on loan? They didn't. Unfortunately, then he got 1 minute in the Premier League. He has now gone to Preston. He's getting some game time. He's played in different roles as well. He's played in a more advanced role. But I think he is key to Stephen Kenny's plans going forward. And the fact that he is now playing regularly, that's why I had him in the team.
You know, I think the problem, though, is with Harran, lads, and this is the reason why I've put him in the hole as like the kind of the number 10. I've watched him so many times playing games for Ireland in the deep midfield role, and sometimes the game just passes him by. Like, he's standing there, there's opposition players going past him when he should be making tackles, he should be trying to intercept the ball, and the game is just passing by. And it's so frustrating, because you're thinking, if you've got a player like Jason Knight or Malumbi or Cullen in there, they're going to go for that opposition player, they're going to try and get the ball off them. But Harran just kind of trotting around midfield, and I think he's the kind of player, he needs to be stimulated. You need to give him something that's going to interest him, that's going to get him into the game. And I think that's why you just need to say to him, look, play that number 10 role there, Conor. Don't worry about having to defend. There's two players behind you. They're going to do all the spade work. You just stay in the number 10 role there and you just try and score goals, because he scored four goals in five appearances now for Swansea since moving there. he's getting coached by a good manager there as well, Steve Cooper. He won the under-17 World Cup with England. So I think he's in good hands there now, and I think he could be in good hands with Stephen Kenny if he just, you know, just go and play football, Connor. Just go and try to score goals and take that responsibility.
That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing now, isn't it, at Swansea? Because he was on the show last week and he was talking about that change of position and how he much prefers that advanced role, even as a number eight. And I think, you know, are we ever going to have a out-and-out number 10 for Ireland? Probably not. While I think you're right, you want him getting into those advanced roles. There's always going to be a bit of, well, you got to get back and help out. And watching him for Swansea, and I've watched a couple of the games over the last few weeks, he looks a transformed player. It's as if he's stepped down a league and has gone to the Swansea players. Well, you know, the big dog has arrived in from the Premier League and I'm here to kick you on again. Like, he looks a step above in confidence and control of pretty much every other player on the pitch. So he just needs to bring that into an Ireland jersey. And I do think you're right. I think the bit of freedom that would give him playing in an advanced role with a Cullen or a McCarthy, I just definitely feel that if you were to go with a midfield three of Howrahan, Knight and Malumbi, particularly with the lack of confidence that's there, that Ireland could end up being incredibly open at times. Who is the player that you can guarantee? Maybe it's Malumbi. I know he's played an advanced role at times for Preston this season, but maybe Malumbi is happy to sit and to protect. But as much as we want progressive football, I think we still need somebody who's just going to be there, a Cullen or a McCarthy, who's happy to sit.
Yeah, so Howrahan and Knight, that is the agreement in all of your three midfields. There's also agreement on who's going to play on the right and the left in the three, in the 4-2-3-1. So Matt Doherty is on the right and Aaron Connolly is on the left. We don't have time to get into that, but we do have time to get into who is leading the line for you. Very briefly, Nathan, kick us off. Who's your number nine?
Callum Robinson, I think, is the quality attacking player that Ireland have right now. Adam Ida hasn't played enough football. Troy Parrott hasn't had the development we would have wanted over the last 6 months. And Robinson, while he's dropped out of that West Brom team, I think has the experience and was brilliant over in Slovakia. All right, playing in a different role. But I thought that he showed that night he's more than capable at international level. And he is the one right now I would trust more than anybody else to get us a goal, if we could trust anybody else. I think that's it's an interesting front three as well, if you have Doherty and Connolly either side. And I think, you know, we've all have Doherty. Doherty will start. I think I'd be shocked if Coleman and Doherty don't play together. I think Stephen Kenny strongly hinted at it in November that that's what he wanted to do. It's a difficult decision again because none of these players have put their hands up and said, you got to pick me as the number nine. He could play Connolly through the middle. He does love Alan Brown as well and may try and fit Alan Brown into the side somewhere. But if right now you're asking me to pick a number nine, I would go with Robinson through the middle.
Stephen, you disagree?
Yeah, I go for Adam Ida. And, you know, there is an element of risk. You're taking a bit of a gamble with him. Like, he's played, seven matches since he's come back from that injury. They're usually 5 1-2-minute appearances off the bench. But you'd be hoping by, you know, in another month's time, he might have a bit more game time under his belt. He got off to a good start this season, playing for Norwich City. So the key thing for me with Adam Ida is the ball sticks. And I think you need a player that the ball is going to stick with up front when you've got attacking players like the likes of Matt Doherty and Harahan and Cully then sniffing around. He's got to hold the ball up and bring those players into play. And even the likes of Jason Ivey might get forward and try and have a crack at goal. And I don't think that Callum Robinson can do that. I really like Callum Robinson. I think he's very skillful on the ball. I really think himself and McGoldrick are quite similar to each other in the way they've got a trick in them. I just don't think Robinson may be of the standard of David McGoldrick, who unfortunately we're not going to have. But I just think if you're going to play the kind of football that Kenny plays, you're going to need a strong, aggressive striker who's going to hold the ball up and bring the midfielders into play. I just don't think Robinson can do that. And I think he's the kind of player that I'd like to see coming off the bench maybe 15, 20 minutes at the end of a game when you're trying to get a goal.
Our poll put James Collins up against Shane Long, up against Adam Ida and Callum Robinson. The winner with 34% of the vote was Shane Long. And Phil Egan, you were continuing this trend of shunning Shane Long from your starting 11.
Democracy doesn't work, though.
Yeah, well, the reason I went for James Collins, see, with Callum Robinson, I think if you're going to play Callum Robinson, you play him out on the left. And maybe he is a good option off the bench with 20 minutes to go if things aren't working out for Aaron Connolly. Now, Stephen Kenny could go with Aaron Connolly through the middle and play Callum Robinson on the left. The reason I went for James Collins, look, he's not prolific, but we don't have a prolific number nine. But one thing he is he's a seasoned pro. He knows how to play that role. He knows how to play as a central striker. Just watching Giroud last night, How did Giroud? Obviously, his finish was incredible, but if you actually look at the
you can't compare James Collins to Olivier Giroud.
No, if you let me finish, if you look at, there was a stage in the game where Atletico pressed Chelsea, and Chelsea were, the only way out was a ball pinged up to Giroud, and he won the flick on. And sometimes, I'm not saying I want us to go long ball, but sometimes you just have to get the ball up to a striker who you know. Stephen mentioned it there. You need somebody who's aggressive, and James Collins will do that. I'm not saying he's going to go and become this prolific striker for us, but as I've touched on, we don't have a striker that is going to bang in goals. So I just want somebody that can occupy the opposition centre-halves, can play in the role, knows what runs to make, knows how to bring other players into the team, and who knows, if the right delivery is put into him, he can actually stick one away. But with Shane Long, unfortunately, when the best version of Shane Long you're going to see is when you're playing a team that has a high line and you can play a ball in over the top and he can use his pace. But I just don't think Stephen Kenny sees a role for Shane Long. Certainly as a starter, again, an option off the bench when you're chasing a goal.
Well, he has won
our goal last night.
He certainly did, and he's looking every bit the player that could absolutely transform this team. So pick up the phone, Stephen Kenny, pick up the phone. Shane Long with 34% of that vote. Callum Robinson came second in that poll, by the way, with 30% of the vote, with Adam Ida with 25%. And your boy James Collins with only 11% of the vote there.
Yeah,
Phil.
Well, in fairness, I would say with Ida is definitely the future. And I just think it's still just a little bit too early from the fact that he's not getting much game time either with Norwich. But I certainly think in a couple of years, we won't even be having this conversation. He'll be a nailed-on starter.
Loads of you have been getting in touch on Instagram with your chosen 11s. Tom Webb wants to see Shane Duffy start at centre-back. Darren Hennessy would also start Shane Duffy at centre-back. He'd also start Alan Brown and Shane Long. David Cahill would start Kieran Westwood in goal. And he'd also hand a start to Troy Parrott, while Alex Conroy says get Jeff Hendrick into the team. So you've been getting them in on Instagram. Lads, great stuff. Just very briefly before we wrap up this morning, Stephen Doyle, Celtic superfan. Who do you want to see succeed Neil Lennon as boss?
Oh, God. I don't know where you start with it. Like, even Kennedy coming in now to take over as caretaker worries me for the last couple of months of the season. But there was talk, perhaps, of Eddie Howe being in conversations with the top brass at Parkhead. Currently, at the moment, so I don't think you could do any worse, really, than Eddie Howe. But I just always thought at the start of the season that they should have went down, maybe got somebody like Allegri at the start of the season. They were willing to blow a few quid on players and stuff like that. They were going to break the budget, so why didn't
Allegri's never going to go to Celtic?
Well, if you give him enough money, you know, give him
£2 million.
Just say, there's £2 million, just win the title. That's all you have to do.
But, £2 million to visit Celtic Park.
Frank Lampard's nailed on for that job, Steve. Frank Lampard. Lampard and Gerrard. Who's better?
I kind of want to see that now. Lampard against Gerrard, Celtic Rangers. Imagine that derby. Unbelievable.
So, honestly, Steve, if you had to... Okay, so blank canvas. If you could actually pick somebody and money is no object, realistically, who could it be? Like, let's say if Allegri... maybe is a little bit OTT. Like, I've heard Rafa Benitez mentioned this morning. Is that level, that caliber of manager, actually realistic?
I think they need to be kind of going for, like, it's Steven Gerrard was kind of the perfect manager for Rangers at that time, because you've got a very ambitious young manager who would have his eyes set on maybe getting a big job in the Premier League, such as Liverpool, which I think Gerrard is going to get eventually. But you need to kind of get them before they've kind of had any success, a young manager like that, or else you need to kind of get a manager who has proven their worth in the past and maybe had a couple of bad seasons and lost a job at a club and bring them back. And that's, Scotland is kind of a good place to get it for a manager to get their career back on track. Like, Benitez isn't a bad shout either, because, as we know, famously, his family live in the UK. He's not too far from Parkhead. Whether he'd go there, I don't know. He possibly would, I think, if the salary was right. But I would imagine Benitez is probably hanging out for another Premier League job. Like, Crystal Palace is going to be available, I'd say, at the end of the season once Roy Hodgson retires. So perhaps Benitez is holding out for that job. And it's really tough. Like, there's not many options out there as regards to a new manager for Celtic. Like, Eddie Howe is probably the first one, or the leading candidate, I think, there at the moment.
Tell you, Mick McCarthy, Mick McCarthy's doing so well at Cardiff. He doesn't even get name mentioned because he's going back to the Premier League. Big game for him tonight. But I think with Benitez, the talk from Napoli is they might go after him because Gattuso is under serious pressure at the moment.
Yeah. The funny thing is that Frank Lampard could probably get a game for Celtic at the moment.
Him and Scott Brown in midfield.
Without question. Good stuff, lads. Appreciate it. Stephen Doyle, Phil Egan, Nathan Murphy, picking there, Ireland 11s, and chatting a little bit about Celtic there. We've still got a little bit this morning on OTBAM, but just to tell you that tomorrow morning on OTBAM, we are going to be chatting to Stephen Ferris ahead of the weekend's Six Nations. We've got more Champions League for you. Our mass superstar, Amy Macken, will be with us. We've got our TV picks as ever on a Thursday, and our other regular Thursday slot, it is Tom Malone's Cheltenham Countdown.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.